Welcome and bienvenidos a todos to our football, a podcast about Mexican women's soccer. I am Eugene Rapinski, and with me, as always, is my co-host Adriana Terrazas. Adriana, how's it going?
Good. It's a like nice rainy day over here, I think. Oh, well, hopefully it's cloudy. I'm guessing it's gonna be rainy, which is always good, always welcome over here. How about you, Eugene?
Very good. It's actually kind of dark here now. But it was nice today. Nice breeze. Not too cold. Not too hot. Real kind of Chamber of Commerce day, if you will. So,
Do you get like rainy summers, or is it just like overall like warm summers?
Warm to hot. It
Okay.
does rain. But not. Yeah, I mean, the rain like comes and goes. It's not like super dry or super wet. It's, I don't know. I growing up in Florida, the rains would come literally every day at about 5 o'clock. So it's not like that here, which is nice. But you know, we do get some like rains to come through periodically. But yeah, the summers here aren't so bad. They do get kind of hot, but they don't last all that long, which for me is wonderful.
Oh, that sounds nice. Over here, they're usually rainy. I think best weather here is like summer, like spring break, and just kind of like those weeks before and after.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
been it was pretty rainy here a couple weeks ago. I was telling you earlier when I was on vacation down in Florida, it rained here. I think 3 of the 5 days we were down there, and then there was an earthquake too, which doesn't like ever happen. So I missed out on all the fun stuff.
I can imagine those conversations with your neighbor, like, oh, like, well, did you guys feel the earthquake? Nope, down in Florida. Nope, missed it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, did you guys feel that? Nope, sure didn't. Sure did not. Glad
Yeah,
I
you
didn't.
should. You come down here, you probably have a bigger chance of getting another one.
Yeah. I guess that is one of those things. After a while, you get used to it. But yeah, that's not my ministry. That's not what I'm here for.
Anything else is fine.
Yeah. So, well, you know, it's weird. We're doing this back to back weeks. Good to be back in the saddle. Got a bunch of stuff to talk about. I guess we can start out with the league. We can go over some of the results from the past week. Anything that really stood out to you as far as surprises or anything?
Yeah, sure. So, do we want to start off with like the sour point of last week, or should we just go straight to results and kind of like not pretend that I don't know, there's like a quite like hurtful loss somewhere in there.
Fine. America
or do you
beat
want to get out of the
Pumas.
way?
Let's get it out. Let's rip the Band-Aid off. America
Yeah, exactly.
beat
Okay.
Pumas 3-0.
You're really struggling with this.
I really am. So first off, it was at the Cruz Azul Stadium, which I was not prepared for. I was not expecting. I don't know why. I can read the match like previews and stuff like that. I guess I knew it was going to be there, but when I turned on the TV and saw it was
It's
there, it's
kind
like,
of weird, yeah.
oh, that's where they're playing. Okay, cool. Yeah, and I know that I'm biased as a Pumas fan. I thought that they did well and then would just kind of shut their brains off and America would score, and I'm like, what just happened? They would, they would be playing
Yeah.
well for 15, 20 minutes, keeping America at bay, maybe even getting like a good run in or something. I'm like, okay, this is promising. And then it was just like, whoops, we forgot how to play.
There goes Sarah Lubert. Yeah, still. Yeah, no, her. Okay, she scored. Yeah.
We're just not going to mark Sarah Lubert. This isn't going to go well, is it? Nope. Nope, sure isn't.
Yeah, it was kind of weird just turning on the TV and seeing both teams. I mean, not particularly looking at the Estadio Azul because we're kind of getting used to seeing them on the men's side for Cruz Azul. But then you look at one team and you're like, America. You're like, other team of Pumas. You're like, huh, something's off.
Yeah, especially since I don't think Cruz Azul has actually played in that stadium.
No, they haven't. They took over Cruz Azul Stadium without Cruz Azul even setting foot in it. It's just... just one of those things that, like, that were so obvious this week. I was like, "How are you guys playing first in a stadium that's not like either one of yours?" So it's, Yeah, it's crazy, but yeah, I mean, I think it's part of this thing that's going on with the Azteca and all the remodeling for the World Cup. But still, men's side's still playing there. Just want to point that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
They're gonna milk
I mean,
that cow
you
until they
could have
can't.
played at the Azteca. Yeah, you could have played at the Azteca if you wanted to,
Could
guys.
have.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, that was painful. It was also the 50-year anniversary of the Pumas logo. I was looking at that, I think, also this week, because on the men's side, you guys had the Clásico as well. You won that one, Eugene. I mean, I know it's not the same thing, but I mean, you won one of those. So yeah, I mean, just trying to make this a little bit less painful.
I appreciate that.
So yeah, that was just one of the results. And then I mean, going back next week, Querétaro beat León 3-2. Tigres 1-0 against Atlas. Truth be told, I was expecting that to be just a bit more on the like just a better score for Tigres.
Yeah.
Puebla Juárez tied to 3. Pretty entertaining over there. And then another hurtful loss. So see, I'm being like, this is me like being in your shoes as well. So Pachuca beat Chivas 3-0, and we'll get into that in a bit because that had some real big consequences. Not only the pain of having that score, but also just we'll talk about Spinelli being fired today. So so see you, Jane. It wasn't too bad. You guys got 3-0, but you still have a coach. So and then another games, Xolos beat Santos 5-2. Talking about Cruz Azul, they lost 2-3 against Toluca, a game that was, by the way, postponed several minutes because of a thunderstorm here in Mexico. Because again, it is now raining down here. Mazatlán beat Necaxa 3-2, and Rayadas had no mercy against San Luis and beat them 7-0. So yeah, do we want to go into Chivas? Do we want to do that?
Might as well rip that Band-Aid off too.
Yep, I guess so. Okay. So Pachuca beat Chivas 3-0. I think it's not only a fact that like the way they beat Chivas, but also the fact that this is Chivas, I think, fourth or fifth game. I'll look that up really quickly, without a win. And today we've just got this. It's just one of those like things that actually like, detonates our WhatsApp group, and we're like, "What the hell is going on?" One, two, three, four. So that's four games in a row that Chivas hasn't won. They tied two, by the way. They tied against Pumas and they tied against Atlas, and they lost only 1-0 against Tigres. So it's not a crisis per se, I'd say. I mean, it doesn't really look like a crisis. I mean, truth be told, out of four games, you lost only two. Yeah, the Pachuca one was quite painful, 3-0. But against Tigres at the Universitario, you only lost 1-0. And before that, you had beaten America 2-1. So I thought that kind of gave you like some like you could buy some time off of that victory, but nope. Apparently, club administration doesn't agree with me, and they fired Spinelli today, which is also kind of a shocker because we're only 2 weeks away from Liguilla. I mean, Chivas will be there. I mean, with just considering the math and everything, but yeah, they'll definitely be there. But it's just so weird thinking a club would take such a huge risk 2 weeks before playing quarterfinals when you really didn't lose except a couple of games against rivals that are going to be in the Liguilla as well. One of the, I mean, both of them as away games also. And again, one of these teams is second place, the other one is third. So, I mean, it doesn't really seem as though you would be desperate to change coaches at this point. And also, again, I mean, once I saw, like, when I saw the press release, first thing that came to mind, truth be told, was, oh no, something happened, you know, like something internally, because sadly enough, we're kind of used to this thing sometimes on the Femenil end, which will bring up another thing we're going to talk about in a bit, what happened at León. But yeah, I mean, I mean, I wouldn't fire my coach like 2 weeks before Liguilla after not, like losing two out of four games against top rivals and both as away games. Will you?
I would not. No, I think,
No.
especially with two games left to go in the season, I don't understand that move at all. Like you said, my first thought was, what happened? Thinking the absolute worst because unfortunately this is women's soccer and we have seen far too many instances of people being let go because they've done something truly heinous. So it doesn't seem like that's the case. I'm gonna put that out there, which is good. It does seem like this is strictly performance related. But that said, I didn't think his performance was all that bad. We're looking strictly at this season. There's three losses, but two of those were against, like you said, top teams on the road. I kind of question why. I mean, the 3-0 loss to Pachuca wasn't great, but Pachuca's also, it's not like they went and lost 3-0 on the road to like Mazatlan or somebody, the other loss was Tigres at the Uni, and then they lost 2-0 against Juarez way back in week two. So like none of those really stick out to me as really poor results. You know what I mean? Like those are not great, obviously, but for me, like that's not
Coaches have stayed for way worse than that.
they certainly have. They certainly have. They've stuck around through way worse stretches than that, and then looking back at last season, Spinelli's regular season record was 11 wins, 2 draws, and 1 loss. So it's not like there's a big history there, so I don't know. I don't understand why Chivas would do this and why they would do it now. They're going to Legia. They've clinched a playoff spot. They are going in. And now they have to go in. All right, take it back. No, they have not yet clinched a playoff spot. Their magic number is 2. So they need to come up with 2 points somehow, to clinch a spot over the next 2 games, which seems absolutely doable. So I don't understand this at all. I don't know what they're thinking with doing this, and I don't see it working out well, at least in the short term. I mean,
No.
it's hard to think of a team being confident going into the playoffs when their coach has just been axed,
Yeah, agreed. It's a, like a moral blow. It unless there's something that we don't know, which I don't think so. It really does seem as though this was more of a results kind of decision. I mean, just looking at the last two games, we face Cruz Azul this week, and then we end the series. I mean, end the season against Monterrey, really challenging game because also it's also
That's
an
going to be
away game.
hard.
Yeah, that's a road game, so that's going to be difficult. So I mean, I'm trying to understand if maybe the fact that Chivas won't make it in the first four positions, and as a consequence, won't be having like home games for the second leg in quarterfinals or any other stage they get access to. I don't know if it, but still, it doesn't seem as though that would be enough of a reason to let go of your coach. Because, I mean, maybe you're not happy with the way things have been going, but definitely just, I mean, and but still going forward with him is understanding that you might get some of the same things. You might get a tie, but you still have this experience. You have the inertia of the rest of the season, and now cutting everything off and just trying to face the last couple of weeks and then a Liguilla. With a club and a squad that's being hit morally and just like it doesn't it feels like a greater risk. So yeah, I mean, let's see what happens. I mean, definitely something I don't think we would see in other clubs. I think they would just risk it and go ahead with the coach that they have. And then yeah, if you're not happy during the off season, you might switch coaches, and that's normal, and that usually happens. But yeah, definitely not going into week 16. So I'm trying to remember the name of the coach that was gonna take charge of the team. He was with the U18s on the men's side. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, let's see. Let's see what happens. Let's see if the players can turn this around and just kind of carry that like on their shoulders and try to take the team to a better end of the season, hopefully a good Liguilla. But yeah, definitely it's gonna be really, really hard to see that happen. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I hope more comes out about this because this just doesn't seem like
Doesn't
it's
make
the whole
sense, right?
story.
It's something, there's like something fishy somewhere.
Yeah, well, maybe not even that. It just doesn't seem like we're getting the whole story. It seems like there's got to be something more to this.
Yeah, agree.
And sometimes there just isn't. Sometimes it's as simple as they were unhappy with this, and they didn't think he was the guy, and they thought it was better to cut their losses now. Because what happens if he goes and goes on, sort of a deep run, but still doesn't get over that hump to make to make a successful Ligia run and lifts a title, then it becomes much harder to oust him after that. You know what I mean? So, maybe that's it, but I don't know. It's just something. I just feel like we're not getting the whole story, and I just want to know more. So,
Yeah, great. And yeah, I mean, do we want to talk about not knowing another story with another club?
yeah, we can get into that. So it came out, what was it? Anacampa, player for Leon, posted. I'm trying desperately to find exactly what she posted on Twitter. But to summarize, she was injured earlier this season and was basically told to go to see like just a doctor, right? Like the IMSS, which I believe is the Mexican healthcare system, right? It
Yeah,
just
exactly. So apparently I mean, that's just like nobody knew, like, I think what was going on with her. So she posted a tweet on message post X, yeah, whatever. saying that last, I think it was around August, she got hit in the head with, just during practice because she hadn't played as much with Leon. I mean, she hasn't really had any minutes in Liga MX Femenil, truth be told. I think she's only had like 6 minutes or something in total. So she was at practice, got hit, and she kind of lost her sight for a bit. It kind of got worse. She was told to rest and kind of just give it a few days to see how her eyes were reacting. And then in this tweet, she says that she had to go, to the Mexican health system and do all these sorts of process that we like. Truth be told, everybody has to do that in case you get hurt at work or anything. You have to go there and they'll do all the process so that you're still being paid while you get better for whatever sick days you have. So she said that she was kind of left alone by the club. She kind of felt neglected. Obviously people started comparing this to the men's side, like, oh my God, do you like Guardado was just injured on the men's side. Did you send him to the Mexican healthcare system or did you take him to a private hospital? So this started growing enormously. I think she really didn't expect this kind of reaction from social media, and it kind of really blew up. So what she says was that, yeah, she had no contact from the club and she kind of felt left alone, and she went to some private doctors and they told her, yeah, that her sight was going to get better on her left eye, but not on her right eye, et cetera. And then today the club had a press conference where they said, okay, yeah, she did have to go to the Mexican healthcare system because we're obligated by law, for her to go do the process over there so that they'll take care of her salary and everything while she's getting better. And again, this happens with everybody. I mean, this could happen to me. It could happen to just anyone that's has like a formal employment here in Mexico. And what they're saying is that they really did take her to a private hospital to be taken care of. But I mean, she kind of was exaggerating. I mean, they didn't say this, but you could tell they wanted to just be clear on all these things. They were like, we did hit take her to a private hospital. She is being taken care of. She is still part of the team because she has a contract and we're obligated because this happened while she was at work, for all intents and purposes. And we're not neglecting anything, but yeah, she does have to go and do this process at the government offices just because that's what anyone would do if, in case you had an accident at work. So, I mean, on one hand, it seems as though something happened where she felt alone or she felt she wasn't being given the attention that she deserved. And then on the other hand, the club's saying, I mean, it seemed as though, and as far as I've heard, for people to report closer to the club, they are kind of mad that this got out of hand because they really think that they've been acting accordingly to the situation. They haven't been doing, like, there's no wrongful doing. They have been taking care of her. She's still under contract. She's still part of the team. So they're kind of like shooken up about why she would go and just start publishing something like that. So yeah, I mean that's what's been going on. They had this press conference today, just, and they had a doctor there who, by the way, is also like a private physician. And then he explained the situation and said, yeah, when this happened, we were first process, like part of the process was for her to wait a bit. She had to wait, I think it was at first a week for just any swelling to go down. And then they had to wait like another 3 months. And that's when they realized that her eyesight was going to come back on the left eye, and but not necessarily on the right eye. And now they're at a point where they know that the eyesight just won't come back on her right eye. I don't know if it has or it will on the left, but so that's the situation where they're in. So I know the club is kind of mad that this happened this way, because they really do think that they were doing everything correctly. But again, you just don't start tweeting out that you're and kind of complaining that you're, or just saying that you're kind of being left alone with this situation. So again, what one of these things that people obviously started being mad. And again, you bring forward like just cases like on the men's side, like Guardado, like, oh, did you expect Guardado to go to the Mexican healthcare system and start doing this? And they were like, no, but we, I mean, she did that because she had to. And again, Guardado was also treated by a private physician, and she is being treated by like a private doctor as well. So yeah, again, so this is what I've heard. This is what happened on the press conference today, and this is what she tweeted out. I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday.
It's been kind of a whirlwind trying to understand it. And I got to be honest, like I don't know the US healthcare system because it's a giant mess. I definitely don't know the Mexican healthcare system and what the protocols and procedures are for anything there. It does seem a little odd that like people were pointing out, like, did you do this to Guardado? Like, you don't, you're, they're right. Like, they have a point. Like, you don't hear about players like Guardado or any other Mexican player that has to go through these procedures. Now, it doesn't mean that they don't have to, but it does seem like when they do, there, there's no problems, or if there was, I would imagine somebody from the club would try and assist them through those problems. And it just doesn't, it seems like there's just been a breakdown of communication between the club, the player, and the healthcare system. And ultimately it's Ana Campos' life we're talking about here. It's it's her profession. Her footballing career is most likely done, right? The rest of her life, she's going to have to deal with whatever loss of vision that that she'll have. Maybe she'll get some of it back. I don't know the full of it. Maybe she'll get all of it back at some point. Maybe not. But like, this is going to affect her for the rest of her life. And one would hope that the club would be there to help at least guide her through the process and deal with this paperwork. So if she goes to the IMSS and they're like, oh, you don't have this paperwork, somebody from the club can be like, listen, what paperwork do you need? We'll get that for you, but we need to make sure that she goes and gets seen, and we push this through.
Yeah,
You know
true.
what I mean? Just don't leave her hanging there, because it does, you're right, like the tone of her note, it sounded very like, I'm facing this alone. And that's daunting, to face a bureaucracy alone, especially when you're trying to deal with the fact that now you can't see, or can't see nearly as well as you used to be able to see.
Yeah,
You know what I
exactly.
mean? Like, that's got to be so daunting. So, I hope she's okay. I hope her vision will come back, and that this will all be taken care of. Hopefully, this will lead to some better communication between everybody involved, between the club and her and the IMSS and whatever, and hopefully they get a specialist for her, whether it's in her native Texas or in Leon or wherever, and she can kind of get the help that she needs. So We will, I'm sure we'll be talking more about this. We got some other stuff to cover, and we'll do that right after this. And we're back. So, in hopefully happier news, we got some news about our new favorite tournament, the CONCACAF W Champions Cup. This is the brand new women's club tournament here in CONCACAF that will eventually, hopefully one day, lead to CONCACAF sending a delegate to a Women's Club World Cup. But we are putting the cart way before the horse at this point, because today we just got the list of who is going to be participating. I saw it first thanks to my friend Theo Lloyd Hughes, who posted it out on Twitter, that the upcoming Champions Cup teams will be. So Canada will be sending the Vancouver Whitecaps FC. I guess they have a League One interprovincial championship. League One is kind of like a semi-pro or even amateur championship until they get their pro league started up. So right now, it's the Vancouver Whitecaps FC. Costa Rica will be sending Alajuelense, who are the 2023 Apertura and Clausura champions. So congratulations to them. El Salvador still has a club to be determined. Will be a playoff between the winner of the 23 Apertura and the 24 Clausura there. They're going to play for that final spot. Jamaica has their Women's Premier League champion from 2022-23, the Frasers Whip Women FC, which is actually kind of a interesting name.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. That's a pretty
Frasers
original
Whip
name. Yeah.
Women.
This is what you learn from CONCACAF. You get like really original club names,
Oh my
like around
goodness.
all tournaments.
We could do a full episode, a full hour episode on just fun
Like
CONCACAF
ranking, yeah.
team names. Like I'll never forget Flanagan's Onions in Bermuda. Like I'm absolutely going to go there and check them out one of these days because how could you not?
Yeah, great.
Panama will take their 2024 Apertura champion and send them, whoever that may be. The NWSL, which is I believe where Theo got this from, they are going to be sending their 2023 NWSL champion Gotham FC Go Bats. The Shield winner, which is the San Diego Wave, San Diego Wave. Thank you, Andre and Courtney, for that. Got me saying that. And the Shield runner-up, Portland Thorns FC. I know there were some people who were upset that thought that North Carolina Courage should have been in there, but that's not my fight to pick. I'll let those who are way smarter about that discuss that. And now, for the reason that we're all here, the Mexico, they have three clubs in the group stage. One of them will be Tigres, because they are the 2023 Apertura champion. Joining them will be the 2024 Clausura champion and the best runner-up based on aggregate regular season league points across both competitions. So across the 2023-20 Apertura and the 2024 Clausura, they're going to compile all the points, and whoever had the best regular season point total will join Tigres and the 2024 Clausura champion. Do you want to take a guess as to who is currently sitting in second and third place?
So I'm guessing Rayadas
That's correct.
and or at third place might be América,
Bingo. Bingo. So
maybe.
Tigres is in first with eight, and this is over the 2 seasons so far. Tigres is in first with 81 points. Monterrey and América are both tied with 76 points. And Chivas is a distant fourth with 68. Behind them is Pachuca with 62. And then I think it gets into the very unrealistic possibilities of like Tijuana, Toluca, Juarez. On down the line, poor Santos is at the bottom of that list with 10 across both seasons. Do better, Santos. Come on.
So Tigres has a guaranteed spot, disregarding whatever they do this season. And then if it's someone different, We would get that team, and then the next one would be Monterrey in case Tigres wins again, which they just might because we know how things happen. It would be like Rayadas and America.
That's correct. If the season stopped today, now there are still two regular season games left to play. Of course, anything can happen in those two, and I think we'll know a little bit more when that time comes. But I couldn't help but notice that we have two teams that are tied for that last for that second runner-up spot. So let's just theoretically say that anybody besides Tigres, Monterrey, or America wins the Clausura this year. Then it becomes who gets in, because right now they're tied on
Yeah, we have
points.
like no like further insight into what's going to be the criteria for that. So, I mean, it could be just like going with what you usually do with Liga MX-17 and go with goal differential, but you might as well say, well, it could be just whatever result they got against each other for the entire soccer year, which could also be kind of fair, I guess. But could also lead to another tie because what if they tied both games? So I guess like maybe like the fifth criteria could be just flipping a coin, maybe.
The drawing of lots. I love it.
Yeah.
We'll see it. We'll see if Theo still has those plastic balls that they used for the tournament earlier this year in Houston. Maybe they can reuse those. I don't think we've heard all of the rules yet. I don't think we know the full story on this. So this that we've presented to our listeners comes from an NWSL press release. Okay. So I want to caveat that
Oh,
it's
the press release from CONCACAF, which I just found it. It says the exact same thing. So,
so but neither of these organizations have really any skin in the game as to how Mexico chooses who goes, right? It doesn't matter to CONCACAF, or especially to the NWSL. Like, they don't care. It's not their problem. So I would imagine, I would hope at least, that the FMF at some point will come through with a list of tiebreakers before we hit the end of the season,
Before this is a problem.
so that we can clearly go down the list and say, okay, if this does still end up in a draw, these are the tiebreakers that would determine who, in fact, will go. And I can almost guarantee, kind of like we said on the last podcast, that no matter what happens, people are gonna be mad. Somebody's gonna be mad that,
Disappointed. Yeah.
so we will see. We will see exactly what happens with that. But I'm excited. I'm excited that I can't help it. I'm excited that Tigres is in this, because we've known for a long time that they are the best, or at least one of the best, in Liga MX Femenil for sure. They've always performed well against NWSL clubs. I think they're gonna do good. I think they're a team that really has a shot to put a stamp on this tournament for Mexico. That said, I'm also into the intrigue of who else is gonna make it, because like, that's fun. Like, somebody's gonna be upset. Somebody's gonna be watching this from home and feeling like they should be there, and that's kind of fun too. So, I don't know. What are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I'm grateful for another tournament coming up. Like you mentioned, this being just happening before we actually get some news on a Club World Cup. Tournament, these games, by the way, will be between August and October. And yeah, I mean, for just despite the lack of clarity regarding this, which I do think will be kind of like an internal thing, like it'll be decided per league. Yeah, I mean, any activity we get is always welcome. And especially any kind of activity that we get for international purposes will also be great for us. So yeah, I mean, I'm all in and hopefully it won't be hectic, but we'll see.
No, I'm looking forward to this. I mean, I think this is something that a lot of us who are in this space, covering women's soccer, have really been clamoring for quite a while. So I'm excited to get this underway. Obviously, to our listeners, we'll keep an eye out for more on this, and we'll certainly bring you any updates that we hear of, because I do hope that that some clarity is brought to this. And like I said, before the end of the season, when we know exactly who would go or who would not go. So any final thoughts on this?
I'm really eager to see some of these clubs have international activity, just not only against clubs in the US, because we are starting to get tons of friendlies over there, and that's always great as well, but just starting to see some of the other federations have some representation as well. That would be really interesting. So really eager to see, even if it's a club in Canada that's not quite like professional yet. I mean, anything, I'm glad to see them. I think it'll also be a push for all those clubs as well. So always welcome, and really happy to see CONCACAF take these things seriously. And we're starting to see more activity, more tournaments, and just more preparation in general, whether it's club level or national team level as well.
Yeah, let's go Frazier's Whip. I know. I in all seriousness, I am excited to see the different styles coming against one another. I'm interested to learn more about teams that we don't get to see. Like, I know a bit about Alajuelense and their history, but I don't think I've actually seen them play too many times. So it'd be awesome to see that. Obviously, don't know too much about the Whitecaps or Frazier's Whip, or any, even, some of the teams that would be coming in from El Salvador, Panama, so to get to see them kind of playing, maybe not in person, but, on television live against competition is awesome. Like, I love that. And, it's just, these are one of those things that is just going to help build the game here in our region. And there's absolutely nothing bad with that whatsoever. I'm excited for it.
Yeah,
Awesome.
definitely.
Any final thoughts before we head out into the evening?
No, I mean, yeah, hopefully, like this good news will kind of overcome all the bad news that we just talked about previously. But yeah, I mean, keep up with the hashtag. We'll be p letting people know what's going on with Chivas, with León, all these things, and obviously looking into Liguilla as well. So yeah, keep up with the conversations on social media, hashtag LigaMX, FEMENG. And yeah, we'll talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it any better myself. But yeah, thanks to all of our listeners. Thank you, Adriana, because at the end of the day, this is indeed our football. Thank you all so much, and we'll see you next time.